Hello and welcome to the Mark Gross Podcast. I am very fascinated about the relationship that we have in terms of to our bodies, in the context that often we can have chronic pain or fibromyalgia or extreme fatigue, chronic fatigue, or maybe all of those things, irritable bowel syndrome. We can have all these symptoms that when we go to the traditional medical direction, they don't know the causality. They'll say, I don't know what's causing this. Like, hey, maybe your blood chemistry is normal, but you're experiencing all these things. And often the perception, it's not always true, but often the perception is it's all in your head. You're making it up. Like, there's nothing wrong with you. Why do you think there's something wrong with you? And what happens is that we then feel crazy. And then we know that something's going on in our body. We can't put our finger on it. Traditional systems don't offer answers to it. And so we often will end down a different route. We'll hear a podcast like the one I'm about to share with you and be like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that I was hypersensitive to this or that, or I was exposed to mold. So today's episode is with Dan Huber. Dan Huber is a guy who found himself at the edge of death and had to create solutions and find solutions to come out of that and be the vibrant and vital human that he is today. So we talk all about that path of like what created it, what were the symptoms, what happened, and how did he find his way out of it? And we talk about what does create toxicity in the body. We explore things like blue light and fragrances from, let's say, like laundry detergents, all this stuff that we've just been putting in our bodies and on our bodies without even questioning it. And I think it's pretty clear that the way that the world is today, the amount of chronic health issues, the amount of inflammation, the amount of mental health issues, these are all due in large part to all these confounding things. And of course, we can get stressed thinking, I gotta fix this, I gotta do all these things. And it's like, no. Start with the thing that makes the most sense for you. Make sure you hit that like button on the video, the subscribe button, so you don't miss any upcoming episodes, any upcoming videos. That helps support the show at no cost to you. And with all that said, let's go. Here's Dan Huber. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mark Groves Podcast. Today I have Dan Huber, who is an entrepreneur. But I would say like you have used your entrepreneurship more from like a heart-led space, from like the desire to be of service.
Yes.
And so I know you have a really incredible journey that you've been through like health-wise that has led you to create some really incredible things. So I wanted to have you on and talk about it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Been following you for a while and I really appreciate the work you're doing and I'm grateful to be here.
Yeah, thanks, man. I'm so excited for you to be here because I think for a lot of people, the mysteries of figuring out what's going on for them do not get resolved by the medical system. And they might not even know that the thing they think is something else is actually something else.
Oh, quite different, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe you could start with like what led you to create the things that you've created.
So I was a mortgage banker in 2008. During the mortgage banking crisis. And it took probably about 2.5 years to go broke. And we lost, you know, everything, cars, houses, all the savings. And I shifted out of that business into the oil and gas business. And we moved into a rent house in like April of 2011. And about 6-8 months into living there, I started getting really sick. And by a year after living there, I'd gained 40-45 pounds.
Wow.
My head was always throbbing. I had brain fog, fatigue, constipation one day, diarrhea the next day, weird rashes that would show up, difficulty concentrating, horrible time sleeping. The kids always had weird sinus infections or red eyes and sniffles. And I went to the Western allopathic medical system, several different doctors, and they couldn't tell me what it was. They would look at my blood work and say, you look fine. Everything looks normal. Your cholesterol is a little high. Here's some Lipitor.
Right.
And then we went on vacation in 2015. Texas had been in a drought for a few years, and so everything was really dry. And when we came back in 2015, there was a whole lot of rain, and we figured out our house had been flooding underneath the crawl space. And there was tons and tons of black mold. And I'll show you a picture of some stuff later on. But so turned out it was black mold.
Wow.
The majority of it was concentrated underneath my office where I spent, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 hours a day in front of 3 computer screens with a Wi-Fi router next to me, staring at blue light all day. And when we figured out it was mold, that uncorked this whole journey on health. And most Western medical providers don't understand how to handle mold. It's something that grows on trees, pour some bleach on it, and everything will be fine. The thing about mold that's really tricky is the mycotoxins, they can camp out in your body, and they're small enough to cross the blood-brain barrier. So they like to camp out in fatty tissue. That's why my body was trying to protect itself by wrapping those mycotoxins in fat and storing it to keep it out of your system.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So the putting on the weight was your body trying to get the mold to go to the
someplace
fat.
Else. Yeah. And it can sit in your organs and cause all kinds of issues. One of the other issues it does is it creates, your body creates a biofilm, so your gut lining gets all screwed up. So you basically have a protected coating on your digestive system, so you're not absorbing nutrients. Like every day I would wake up and my prayer was, oh my God, today, God, can we feel a little better today? I'd be laying on my side, lift my arm up, and I'd have absolutely no strength and set it back down.
Wow.
Yeah. And that went on for 4.5, 5 years. Had a brain scan done, and I had like 2 almost treble clef looking lesions in my brain where the mold mycotoxins were camping out. Yeah. So we can go on for hours and hours and hours. I can tell you all kinds of stories about it. At one point, it was relentless because every day you're struggling to figure it out. You're thinking you're crazy. It's in your brain tissue, so it can make you feel crazy. At one point, several points, I felt like I was actually having acid flashbacks, like from doing LSD.
Mm.
And if you know anything about mold and fungus and psilocybin, it's very similar. So that kicked open a whole journey of discovery on what to do about health and how to overcome these mycotoxins. So,
how long were you in at the point where you are discovering the lesions and discovering all this stuff? How long is it from the time you move into the house till that?
So that was after we figured out it was mold in 2015. So we immediately moved out of the house and luckily had a friend who had an already furnished house. So we pretty much left everything there, moved into another furnished house, and then we started recovering.
Does the mold take over furniture too?
Yeah, that was a mistake we made. So after we lived in that house for 6 months, we moved into a rental house and brought all of our furniture with us, and then we got sick again. So we had all of that furniture that was covered with mold toxins. So our house is a pier and beam, and the air conditioning system was underneath, and there was old galvanized ductwork and had rusted and basically was sucking all the mold and mycotoxins up and spraying it all over us.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty horrific. So we ended up abandoning all that furniture, selling it or getting rid of it. Anything that has fabric, you have to get rid of. We moved the majority of the memento stuff that we wanted to keep into storage, which turned out to be a good thing. We had it in exterior storage in Texas where the hot and cold and wind getting through helped remove some of the mold mycotoxins from the furniture and stuff.
Wow.
So I went to a place called the Environmental Health Center in Dallas, and there's a guy named Dr. Ray. He kind of pioneered, he and another doctor, Dr. Hamill, pioneered this basically like allergy treatments for different things like mold and chemicals and pesticides, Lyme disease, other hard-to-treat cases. So the first thing we did was move. The second thing you have to do is start getting the mold mycotoxins out of your system. So that involves taking binders like activated charcoal, bentonite clay, zeolite, a drug, a cholesterol drug called cholestyramine. And then you can do a whole bunch of other stuff. Sweating is great. So saunas, detoxification, chelation, IVs, Myers cocktails, a whole host of things to get your body and your immune system back online.
Wow. And was any of this showing, it wasn't showing up in your blood chemistry?
So your normal blood profile won't see this stuff. You can look for it when you do a mold test. You can do different types of blood tests, but your standard Western allopathic doctor will not tend to look for these things.
Unless it's impacting like immune function and that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, the guy who gave me the Lipitor was the last final straw. That's, and we can go into the depression side of this. He came highly recommended as one of the top guys in Dallas for functional medicine. I sat with him. Intake was an hour. I said, man, I feel like I'm dying every day. I can't breathe. I can't think. I have no energy. I lose my place when I'm trying to find a word like mason jar.
Yeah.
And he did the full suite of tests, all this blood work. We did the cardiac stuff, and all of it came back normal. And he said, well, everything looks okay. Your cholesterol is a little high. Right. Here's a script for Lipitor. I'll see you in 6 months. And I was like,
you're like, I need more than that.
I'm going to be dead in six months. Which led to the depression part. You know, the mold that sits in your brain and your body, it for so long will wear on you to where I actually was depressed. And I really was considering killing myself. If I didn't have a wife and 7 kids, that option could have been on the table. So it was pretty heavy. I mean, it was a long Shawshank Redemption sewer I had to crawl through.
That's a long time to be in that state.
Yeah, and I was working the whole time, too. So,
wow.
Yeah, so we get out of that house, start seeing these doctors, and start uncovering a bunch of other stuff. That's where I discovered Dr. Cruz. I discovered him right away, but he's so drjackcruz.com. You know, people can go there and find out all kinds of stuff. The guy's a genius.
Yeah, he's an incredible teacher. Yeah. His mind is, the way he thinks about things.
He's great. He's super smart, and he'll tell you.
Yeah.
So one of the things I found from him was blocking blue light. And so my kids and my wife all thought I was crazy because I changed out all of the fluorescent bulbs and the LED bulbs to red and amber incandescents, and I bought these crappy blue light glasses from Amazon. And the kids wouldn't wear them. So my 17-year-old daughter and I started a business called LuciaEyes.com. So taking a tough issue and making it a business, the main reason we started is because my kids would not wear the unfashionable glasses. So that's how the blue-blocking glasses business came in.
Did you notice an impact also, like when you were starting to study light? What did you learn about light that made you change? Can you still buy incandescent bulbs? I thought aren't they taking them off the market or something?
They have. You can still get them on Amazon. There's also flicker-free LED bulbs.
Are those okay?
Yeah. They don't have that flicker, which causes all kinds of damage as well.
Oh, really?
But, yeah.
Is it like a flicker I can't see? It's just happening?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I have to actually actively look up flicker-free LED.
Yeah, and I'll give you the links, and you can post them in the show notes. It's actually pretty good. And the Amazon bulbs, I think they might be listed as heat lamps now instead of
incandescent. You're not allowed to sell incandescent.
I don't know.
I do remember reading something about how, like, for, like, climate, green, whatever stuff, that they stopped making them. I'm sure Canada was probably on the edge of deciding to get rid of something that is actually good for you.
So the light spectrum is really important. You want as close to natural sunlight as possible, full spectrum. And when you're sitting even inside your car or behind windows in your office, the windows are filtering out part of the good light that you're getting. So you always want to try and get full spectrum. And if you look at the spectrum of light that incandescent bulbs sit, it's the closest to natural light as you're going to get. There's a little bit of a blip in the blue, but very little. The LEDs and fluorescents are basically a big, thin, tall line of all blue light.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, they're really bad for you. And so this is a new lens we're testing out. It blocks about 20% of the blue light. The daylight lenses we have block 50%, and then the red ones that you've seen block 100%.
100?
Yeah.
So when I see like the orange ones versus red, the orange is more of a, you said 50%? They're like a yellowy color?
So the ones
color?
I just gave you that are a champagne color, that blocks 50%.
Okay. Yeah.
So the orangish reddish ones block 100%.
If you're ready to invest in and level up your health and well-being, listen up. The Institute of Integrative Nutrition is the world's most respected nutrition and health coaching school with the largest global presence in health coaching. Their online health coach training program and additional courses provide their students and graduates with the tools and knowledge they need to transform their own personal health, as well as the health of their clients and communities around the world. Not only am I a faculty member of the Health Coach Training Program, teaching on the subject of relationships and shadow work, but I personally know numerous people who've taken IIN's program and have become some of the best health coaches I know. What makes IIN different is that their courses offer a holistic approach to health that considers all aspects of an individual, from your physical health, nutrition, and environment, to your mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. When you enroll in their courses, you'll learn the tools and techniques that allow you to embrace coaching as a lifestyle. You are your client first and create the foundation for personal and professional transformation. What's really exciting is that IIN recently partnered with Chopra Global, the company founded in Deepak Chopra's vision, which means all Chopra courses are now available through IIN, expanding their health, wellness, and coaching course offerings to include meditation, Ayurveda, and yoga, as well as Chopra's coaching certification. If this sounds interesting to you, you can save 20% off site-wide. That's 20% off all the courses from IIN and Chopra when you visit bit.ly/markIIN and use the code MarkGroves20 at checkout. That's bit.ly/markIIN and use the code MARK20 for 20% off site-wide.
How does blue light impact our physiology?
So, I'll give you the layman's version. Dr. Cruz can give you the full spectrum version. So you have these receptors in your eyes that receive light and basically set your circadian rhythm. And so what blue light does is disrupts that. So if you're laying in bed, say at 9 o'clock at night, you open your phone and look at your phone screen and you don't have any filter on it, this color temperature of your phone screen is the same color temperature of the sun at midday. So you're basically telling your brain, hey, it's midday, it's noon, stop releasing melatonin. So if you're staying there awake at night doom scrolling, boom, 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 you're just telling
it's
your
gotta
brain.
It's got to be almost everybody.
Everybody, yeah. So blue light disrupts melatonin release and production. It also disrupts serotonin and dopamine, so you get anxious and depressed. That's why we have all these kids that are freaking out. And so sunlight codes for, I think, about 1,000 different proteins in your body. So sunlight, you know, takes cholesterol and makes it vitamin D when you're out in the sun. So one of the things, the two things that helped me get healthiest the fast were blocking blue light and getting up every day in the morning and standing barefoot watching the sunrise for 10 minutes. That basically resets your circadian rhythm. Because when you're sick, the best thing you can do is sleep and rest. That's when your body goes through apoptosis and autophagy, cell repair and cell destruction. And so when you're in a moldy environment, the mycotoxins are basically telling your body fight or flight, fight or flight, fight or flight.
All so it fucks with your nervous system.
Oh, horribly. Yeah. And I had afterwards, I didn't know it during the time, but when your body is like this cup, when you have so many toxins going in and if your drain is clogged or not working right, you know, because it's gummed up with biofilm or your liver's not working because it's overworked with, you're getting mycotoxins all the time. If you pour cologne or fragrance or air freshener or diesel exhaust fluid or pesticides, this thing will overflow. And then you get what I had was presenting like autoimmune type symptoms. So
the thing they can't figure out, it's you're just having an inflammatory response. We don't know why.
Yeah.
Here's some Lipitor.
Cytokine storm. Yep. And so they can't figure it out. So going back to finding Dr. Hamill and Dr. Ray, we did all of those detox protocols and the other get your body back on track protocols, but also allergy shots. And so Dr. Hamill, we ended up buying his medical clinic. He still works for us. We're closing the clinic. He's 90 years old and retiring.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I was afraid he would retire before we figured out all this stuff and got healthy. So we ended up making a deal to purchase this clinic, which was a really good thing for the past 5 years. So
yeah,
helped a lot of people, and it's a good end to the story. So getting on the allergy shots really helped because it's low-dose immunotherapy. And so basically what it does is gives you a tiny dose of that to build up your own innate immune system against these things.
So it starts to target mycotoxins?
Mycotoxins. So the mycotoxins, it basically gets your body to become aware of these things and to fight them rather than having this giant inflammatory response.
Okay.
Yeah. And so going back to this analogy of this cup being overfilled with toxins, you have to stop the flow of toxins. So I would walk through the grocery store and go to the laundry soap aisle and have a huge inflammatory response because of the chemicals in the fragrances.
So you became like hypersensitized to anything inflammatory?
Yep.
Wow. So you were like a drug dog for inflammation.
Horribly so. And so if I would sit on a plane next to some lady with grandma perfume on, it would take me a day to recover. I would literally have to go. Or if you go to like a hotel and they have their signature fragrance.
Oh, yeah.
That stuff's filled with poisons. Yeah.
Were you surprised? Like, what were you surprised about that you could pick up as being toxic?
One of the ones I couldn't figure out for a while was pesticides. And we live in a neighborhood with only 50 houses, and there's a little canal. And when my neighbor would be across and I'd be outside, he was spraying Roundup. And the wind would blow it across, and suddenly I'd be hit like some big fat guy punched me in the face. Couldn't figure out why. I get this tightness in my chest, soreness in my throat, couldn't swallow, brain fog. Go inside, try to figure out, what did I do? Did I eat something? Did I smell something? Did I get some chemicals on my hands? And then one day I was sitting in my kitchen and looking out at the room, and he's out there with the pump sprayer spraying that pesticides. And then I walked outside and I could smell it. And so that was one of the most surprising ones. Yeah. Because wow. It's a toxin. It's a neurotoxin.
So now all of a sudden, because your cup is full with backup, because you're not clearing things.
Correct.
You're now feeling the symptoms that your system was formerly cleaning out.
Yeah. And so emotions.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. So emotions and stress, thinking. I went through and it's called rapid eye technique. Have you heard of rapid eye technique?
Yeah.
So I would have an emotional response to mold. So if I would get in a spot where it was moldy after we got out of the house and I was in recovery, I would get a horrible PTSD reaction that was like 125% redlined, and I'd have to get out. It was just complete PTSD, shock and fear. And I went and did this woman, her name is Susan Kearney. She's in Dallas. She does rapid eye technique. And after about five times of going to see her, it knocked the emotional response. It's kind of the left brain, right brain combining. I don't know exactly how it works. It's kind of weird. She uses this crazy cat toy, and you have to blink and cross your arms and do all kinds of crazy stuff, but it helps to bridge that left brain, right brain.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that also, that impacted the relationships. And what was interesting to me, and what I'd like you to do, is get on Dr. Cruz and talk to him about how blue light and non-native EMF are affecting relationships. I'd like to get somebody to do a study on blue light just with kids, on how much it's impacting their health these days
and their nervous system.
Yeah,
you know, it'd be so fascinating to see, because like we have such. It makes sense when you speak about it in this accumulation of like clogging up, that if we are in an environment that is just like hitting us with so many things, and then is blue light then the thing that is like the cherry on top, or like the clogging, like it just, it's like we're so inundated with it that, and we're not getting up in the morning and looking at sunlight, and we're not going to, when we go to sleep, we're looking at our phones. Mm-hmm. So we've like completely fucked our circadian rhythm.
Yep.
And then our hormones are way off, and think, because I know like morning sunlight has such an impact on hormone production.
Correct.
And so I know when I was talking to a friend of mine who's a doc, and we went through my blood work, and he was like, your prescription is eat a pound of beef every day. Stop. Don't eat sugar.
Yeah.
And he was saying, like, reduce your carbohydrate intake for a bit just to, like, get more metabolically flexible. But, and like, I didn't have a, none of my stuff was out of the range, but he was like, it's high normal, which is not functional.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just what the medical system would call normal.
Right.
But he was saying, like, one of the number one prescriptions was for me to wake up in the morning, and the first thing I do before I do anything else is go look at the light.
Yep.
And he said, if you catch it right at sunrise, you can look directly at the sun.
Correct.
Which, when I started doing that, I would, you know, because as a kid, you're told never look at the sun. When I started doing it, I was like amazed that you could just look at this fiery ball, look away from it, and your vision was fine.
Right. It's just before sunrise till about half the sun's up, you can look at it. And then once the sun is up, I look around it, you know, 10% around it. But those two things, blocking blue light and watching the sunrise while grounded, were the two things that impacted my health the best.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, just immediate response. Like 2 weeks. There was a huge difference. And, you know, after suffering through this for 4.5 years, like 2 weeks of doing
it. You could tell right away. Yeah. Because anything like super beneficial was immediately. What I think is interesting is, like, in a way, it's a gift to have a hypersensitivity to toxins.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you realize how toxic everything is.
Yeah. And everyone's so desensitized. And that a lot of the things that they put in fragrance, in laundry soap, have those phthalates in it, which desensitize your olfactory system. So
your ability to smell.
So you need to have more of it. That's why old ladies that put more and more, or dumb young kids put Axe body spray on.
I remember using that when I was younger.
Oh, that's the worst stuff. I was in church the other day, and some kid in front of us had Axe body spray on, and there was an old lady behind us that had perfume on. And by the time I came out of church, I was really in a rough mood, and I ended up kind of taking it out of my 14-year-old daughter. She was just being a kid, and I didn't even realize, because it had been so long since I had had an inflammatory reaction. I just thought I was tired or whatever. I got home, I smelled my clothes, because you pick it up like secondhand smoke.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking, I want to build those skills, I want to learn how to create epic love, I want to heal from a breakup, I want to heal my nervous system as I'm in the dating process so I can choose the most aligned partner to create a future with. Well, I have the perfect opportunity for you. Because you're listening to the Create the Love podcast, you get to bypass the waiting list for the Create the Love community. You can go to createthelove.com/yes and get started with whichever course is most applicable to your life and the skill set you want to develop. And here's one thing I know for certain, is that great love can't wait. You have to get started right away. Your healing can't wait. So go register now at createthelove.com/yes and get started right away. Yeah, it's like we don't. So first off, when we spray ourselves with stuff like perfumes or skin creams, I'm guessing a lot too, and
shampoos.
And so we want to look for phthalate free.
Just fragrance free. You know,
you want to use fragrance free everything?
Yeah, we do.
How about the natural ones that are like lavender or something like that, if they're from like a clean, quote unquote, brand, which I know is often just marketing?
Sure. Some fragrances that are natural, like essential oils, I'm okay with. I can handle some of them. Some of them I can't. But there's really nothing natural about taking 4,000 pounds of roses and crushing them down into a little piece of oil.
Yeah.
So, I'm not an expert on that, so I don't know. I know for me, some of my reactions to certain essential oils are negative. Some of them feel good. You know.
What would be if someone's really struggling with, they can't figure out the root cause of something, what would be symptoms that mold might be something to explore, and where would they go?
Oh, man. So on our on our website, on Lucia Eyes, we have a resources page. And then on our, we also started a nonprofit called HopeChain.com because anxiety and depression are very linked to disrupted circadian rhythm and blue light. What I was going to say before, I'm hoping somebody does a longer in-depth study on the effects on children of blue light and non-native EMF, because we're constantly being bombarded with Wi-Fi, with cell phone radiation.
That'd be non-native EMF? Yeah. What is that?
So that's native EMF would be like the frequency you get from the sun or from the earth. That's native.
Makes sense.
So when I was a kid in the 70s, there was basically radio and TV. There was no cell phone. The amount of increase in non-native EMF, I think, is like a 1 followed by 18 zeros increase in how much non-native EMF our bodies are absorbing and taking every day. And so, like your cell phone, you never want to keep it next to your head. Always use a corded headphone or speakerphone. The data says that about 10 milliwatts per meter squared is what your body is safe with. Now, the data that they put out, they being the cell phone manufacturers, the Wi-Fi routers, they basically look at that data on what it can cook. It's like based on heat. But these non-native EMFs can bioaccumulate. So it's not like...
Really?
Yeah.
So they actually like get stored?
Yeah.
What, in like fat?
Well, I don't know the mechanism, and that's something you can talk with Dr. Cruz when you get him on your show.
I'm sure he'll have lots to say.
He has a ton of it.
Yeah.
But I know that for me, when I was in that environment and got out of it, I could sense when my cell phone was still on. Even I was feeling, this is a great story, I was in bed and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't sleep. I was tossing and turning. We put our Wi-Fi router on a timer.
Same. Yeah, we do too.
Goes off at 11, comes back on at 7:30, and all the kids have to put their phones up. They're turned off. They're in a spot. Same with me. But I could not figure out what I kept feeling was disrupting me. Well, it turns out this little Samsung remote for the TV had fallen between the sheets and was there. And I have a little EMF meter, so I was walking around like a detective with my EMF meter, and it was in our bed. And it was shooting off the charts, this little tiny remote. Took the batteries out of it, fell right to sleep. So,
man, people have no idea that this level of, like,
toxins.
If you say cell phone radiation can disrupt bodily function, physiology, you're called a conspiracy theory tinfoil hat.
Yeah, well, the National Transportation Safety Bureau did a study in 2018 and concluded in that study that 1G and 2G radiation from cell phones or smartwatches cause cancer. So the NTSB did their own study. I think it was like a decade-long study that they did. And they delayed it because they wanted to redo their test because they found that the cell phone radiation does cause cancer. So you can Google, there's a bunch of issues that came up with firemen because they would put these cell towers on these firehouses, and all of these firemen were getting sick, really bad sick, from being right underneath the radiation of a cell tower.
Like a 3G, 5G.
3G, 4G, 5G.
And now it's 5G.
Yeah.
The more Gs, is that more powerful, or is it just different frequency?
I think it's different frequency. Yeah. I don't know enough about it. I know enough to know that.
But if I ask Jack, I know he'll go on a long. I consume his stuff, I'm always like, feel like I need to listen to it a few times.
Yep.
And to really like understand the cascades that he's talking about blue light and melatonin, but he also talks about methylation, right?
He does. I don't know the full science data on that, but I know that when your circadian rhythm is disrupted, and when you're under a toxic load, that methylation gets affected. And I know that when I was sick, and you talk about sugar, I know there's different pathways of production, and I don't know the hell. Josh will probably know all of this stuff. But I would gravitate towards sugar because it's a really quick delivery mechanism. You know, you eat a couple Oreos, and you've got a quick little burst of energy or carbs. But to get, like you were saying, if you're going on a carnivore paleo diet, it takes a little while to get that system set up to where you have that constant stream of energy. But when I was sick, plus having mold in your system also creates candida, and that feeds on sugar. So you're craving sugar all the time if you're in mold.
That's so interesting how all these systems work together.
Yeah.
And how it's beyond the measurements that we get in allopathic medicine. So because you can't measure it, as Brené Brown said in her talk, it doesn't exist.
Right.
So it's like, if we don't have the answer, there is no answer, is such a...
That's horrible.
Well, so myopic. It's like, and then you're gaslit if you believe, like, why can't you figure this out? Why can't you tell me? But it's just because they can't measure it. And then you see the sort of experience of like, well, if I can't figure it out and I'm a doctor, then you're screwed.
Well, and part of that system, that they play on their ego.
Yeah.
And then their ego gets set and they can't be humble enough to look at something else. If you ask them about mold, they'll say it doesn't affect anything, which is horribly untrue. Horribly untrue. So I guess you asked earlier, how would somebody know? There's a statistic that I think about 50% of the homes and buildings in the United States have some sort of water damage. So about half the homes and half the office buildings have water damage. So a good portion of the population is being exposed to mold and mycotoxins.
Wow.
So what started out for me was itchy, watery eyes, a cough, feeling uncomfortable. The kids would get constant sinus infections or sore throats. And then it shifted after it bioaccumulated into horrible fatigue, brain fog, not being able to remember words, constipation and diarrhea, weird muscle cramps and aches. So these can be signs of mold. But what I would do is if I felt that way, I'd start looking under my sink, behind the shower, in the attic, look for water leaks. And if you see black mold on your ceiling or your walls, you know there's a ton more of it behind the sheetrock.
Wow. Yeah, I remember recently when we moved, I had put in our garage in our old house, I had a metal like storage, like kind of like an artillery box that had stuff from my childhood in it, actually.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that it wasn't sealed. So when I opened it up in the storage locker to just, oh, what's in here? And, oh, yeah, like some of my old hockey cards. Like, like we're talking from the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
And the books were, like, taking on so much water. But when I, like, I could smell.
Yeah.
Like the, and then I looked and, like, powder, you know. It's like, and the books were green, like all green. And I was, there was no hope for any of the stuff, like my high school photo album.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just think more and more now, it's like holding on to all that stuff in the one day that I'm going to retire off a hockey card that, you know, it's just, it's ridiculous anyways.
Well, it still is cherished memories. You know, that's one thing we had to try and figure out what was cherished and what wasn't.
Yeah.
We had to get rid of heirloom furniture pieces from my grandmother, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, because there's no, it's not like bugs where you fumigate it.
And even that's horrible for you.
Oh, the fumigation.
Yeah,
I know,
horrible.
Actually, when we moved into a rental place, I'm allergic to cats.
Yeah.
And they had had like five cats or something. So the carpet was just freaking gross.
Yeah.
So I got like the carpet cleaning.
Yeah.
And man, the smell of that. Yeah, I mean, it went away eventually. But still, I had one of those air doctors running. Mm-hmm. It was red. We didn't go into the area where it got done for probably a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Because it was red.
Yeah, all the time.
For 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
For like a week and a half. And I'm guessing even when it goes green, you're still, I would imagine, because now it's in the fabric, the cleaner. And the guy said to me, it's non-toxic. I do it all the time, like every day. I'm like,
yeah, bullshit.
That's what they tell you.
Yeah, bullshit.
But like the fragrance was so strong and potent.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Do you think the hypersensitivity to, we start to have, like what I've noticed is the cleaner I eat, the healthier I get, the less I can even drink like a sparkling beverage that has natural flavors.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
True. Yeah, my sensitivity has changed, completely changed. And what we see with a lot of the patients that come into the clinic is they're so desensitized because they're so overloaded with toxins that they can't even sense it.
They're
anymore.
Like disassociated, but not from a psychological perspective. Well, they've got from a physiological.
Like they've got like a Yankee candle in every room. They've got Glade plugins. They're using Fabuloso fabric softener. They can't even tell how bad they're putting toxins on themselves.
So, like, if you use a laundry detergent, like a, you know, a brand that's got smells in blue color and all that kind of stuff, you wearing it will go into your skin?
Well, think about that. If you're laying there and you're sleeping at night and you sweat, if you sleep with just pajamas or shorts or naked, your body is absorbing all of that stuff for 8 hours a night. And then you go put the same clothes on for 12 hours a day, your skin is just sucking it up. You're absorbing all of those toxins.
I don't think we even think about any of this because we think our regulators are like, we would never let. But we know that. I mean, the logical part of that is like, we know that's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was listening to Robert Epstein recently on Joe Rogan, and he was talking about how like Google has an like insanely biased search results.
Really?
Yeah, weird. Weird. And that the only one that really still is unbiased and not captured, because DuckDuckGo now is, but is Brave.
I haven't even heard of that.
Yeah, the browser, Brave. Wow. It doesn't collect your data. It doesn't. And I was like, oh, wow, that made me want to download that.
Yeah.
But even, he said, even when your phone is off, it's still listening.
Oh, right. Still grabbing data.
Because you can't take your phone, your battery out anymore.
Yeah, because it's soldered in.
Yeah, and I was looking, there's a brand called the Lightphone, L-I-G-H-T. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're releasing a Lightphone 3. Everybody, if you want to, like, detox from the psychic...
The Matrix.
from the psychic hooks of a smartphone and social media, the Lightphone looks... I had number 2, but number 3 is... It looks insane. It's coming out soon. But I looked at it, and you can actually... The battery is there. And I was
like, take it out.
Wow, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
And there's another phone that I was looking at. I pre-ordered it just because I wanted to test it, is the Minimal phone.
Yep.
And so neither of these have doom-scrolling capabilities.
Right.
Because I think, like, what you're talking about is the environmental experience that we have that overloads our system. And so you have mold that then impacts your nervous system and then impacts your emotions and then impacts your relationships.
Yep.
And so you like feel like you're going crazy, but there's nothing that makes it make sense. And that's one, because you can't find a root cause, but there has to be one because your body's throwing up serious red flags. Mm-hmm. But then when you go to someone to go talk about it, they tell you it's all in your head, which it might actually be in your head with mycotoxins, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you experience emotional dysregulation because of the stress, but also because your nervous system.
Yeah, it's on fire. Your nervous system's basically firing all the time because that stuff that's in your body is basically an attack. So my system felt like I was constantly ground up, ready to go. And it was strange because I was telling my wife in the middle of it, I said, I feel like the only way I can think is if I get really angry. And which was true, because you push a lot of cortisol and adrenaline when you get angry. And they're like, oh, okay, and that kind of clears your head for a little while.
So it's like you need the like drug of those of the emotion.
Right.
To be able to get clarity.
To get some clarity.
For a minute.
But like our bodies are like a ball in space, and we're being attacked everywhere, from the air, from the food, the water. Everything is a toxin. So it takes a full diligent, full court press effort to keep yourself healthy.
How long did it take you to go from, holy shit, this is actually what's happening, I moved out of the house, to I finally feel regulation and clarity and I feel like myself again? Although I'm guessing you felt more of yourself than you ever had at some point.
Yeah, it was, so 2015, fall, spring of 2015, we moved out of that house, and then in December, we moved into another house that ended up having mold also, plus our furniture that we brought with. So by 2016, I started getting really good at being detoxed, and by 2017, I felt a lot better. And then 2018, I was, I would say, back to normal or better than normal. So
yeah, because now you had all this attunement to things that,
yeah,
like blue light and all these things that before you were just taking in.
Completely oblivious to. you know, it's like you don't know what you don't know. And then once you figure it out, you're like, oh my gosh, it's everywhere.
So what are some techniques we can do? Well, one, to pursue like where we would get testing for things like mold.
So if you think you've got mold, there's, and I can send you a link, you can put it in the show notes. There's these little Petri dishes. You can buy, I think, a pack of five of them, and you put them in different rooms. You leave it open. You close them for after a day. You send them back. You can get them on Amazon, and they'll tell you if there's mold there. You could find a mold professional, but that's a sketchy, you know, there's really good ones, and there's really bad ones that take advantage of you, and a lot of them don't know how to handle mold. A lot of them will just say, well, paint it with kills or spray it with bleach, which are probably the two worst things you can do. If you find mold and it's contained in an area, let's say it's your shower was leaking behind and you got mold in your master bedroom, you're going to want to tear it out, tear everything out that has mold on it. Don't even the studs, if the studs have mold on it, don't try and clean it. Tear them out and replace them. And now this can be a really expensive thing. We ended up losing about $50,000 in material goods, like furniture and clothes, we just had to get rid of. And it's a super expensive deal. But it's better than going through getting sick twice. Because once I got out of the system and my body got cleared, when we went back into another system, it was like having a sprained ankle, but then rolling it so hard that it breaks. So I got better, got into another place, and got way massively worse.
Wow.
So, yeah. So get rid of the mold. Find a safe space.
Clean it down to the base.
Get rid of it. Just throw it away. Yeah. So tear everything out, redo it. And then if you have to live someplace that has mold, see if you can make a safe space like your bedroom. So either utilize an air conditioner or a heater that's not part of the same system of the other house in your bedroom, because your sleep has to be sacred. That's where your body's going to repair and recover. And then get outside as much as possible. Get as much sun on your face and your eyes and your skin. Don't wear sunglasses or glasses or contacts outside. Get it out, full spectrum sun, as much as you can.
Yeah, I wear contacts a lot.
Yeah, that's bad for a couple reasons.
What are they?
The oxygenation to your eyes, and then the contacts block the good full spectrum light getting into your eyes.
Is there any that allow it in?
I don't know if there is yet. There was one group that we tried to partner with to develop a lens that would allow full spectrum light to come through. We just couldn't get it going. I hope somebody does. There's a polycarbonate that you can put in your windows that will allow full spectrum light in, but I haven't found any glasses or contacts that do it.
And then for blue light, so glasses will help us with that. You said change the lenses to the non-flicker LED or incandescent or candlelight.
Or candlelight.
But not flavored smelly candles from... No.
Beeswax.
Yeah, so beeswax. Mm-hmm. Only.
Only.
Yeah, because even ones that are like infused with essential oils or the smell of the forest.
It can be chemically, yeah. Okay. It can be petroleum-based products.
Okay, and then for non-native EMF, because this is what I'm really interested about. I think I was listening to Luke Story talking about using like a grounding sheet in the bed and like...
Yeah, you can do that. The thing that's really interesting, so when we moved out of the second house that held mold, we moved into another rental house that was kind of in the city near the airport in Dallas-Fort Worth. And if you open your phone and you go to poke your Wi-Fi button and you can scroll and you can see 20 or 30 of your neighbors... Wi-Fi routers, you're in a kind of a high dense population where you're being surrounded. So there's a couple things you can do. Grounding sheets are great, but you have to test the ground where you're grounding it. If you ground it outside, you have to test the ground where you're grounding it, because there can be a lot of dissipation from underground power lines that can feed and discharge into the ground. So you might not actually be grounded. You might actually be absorbing some non-native EMFs.
Don't they plug the grounding thing into a power plug?
Well, you can plug it into your plug. So you have to test. Yes, you can test it in your ground.
So my plugs are not grounded because it's old, so they wouldn't work.
Right. So you can get a little tester on Amazon. Also, it costs like $12 to see if it's grounded properly. But even then, you want to go outside and test where the ground comes out. So if your breaker box is here and you can see it and there's that copper thing that goes in the ground, you want to test that area to see if there's if it's actually grounded. So there's a couple other things. There's a place called shieldedhealing.com. Those guys are really good. They have a bunch of different products. There's a paint you can use that blocks, attenuates the non-native EMF. You can paint your bedroom. It's black, so you you have to paint it twice. And then
so you paint it and then cover it.
Yeah. And it and then there's a piece of tape that you put on it that goes and then that grounds. So it blocks the non-native EMF and then grounds it away from you.
Damn, did you do that?
No, we moved to the country.
Oh,
so
that's smart.
Yeah. So we've got 50 neighbors and I can see two Wi-Fi routers where we're at. So we moved out to the country, but if you can't, there are these things that are like big mosquito nets for your bed, but they attenuate, drop down the non-native EMF by a factor of 10.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. It's,
isn't there like a vapor barrier or something you could put too? Like when you're building your walls, like you could put in?
Yeah. So what Dr. Cruz did in his clinic in Louisiana is there's lead-lined sheetrock that they use in X-ray labs. And so he did that. I did that in one room of our house. You can attenuate it a little bit with that foam board that has the aluminum foil on it. It doesn't knock it down very much. The best, cheapest thing to do is buy these. It's made out of silver. It's like a silver mosquito net that goes over your bed. And that's what we have.
Wow. So it's like you're sleeping in the jungle with a net over your bed?
Yeah, it's really comforting, actually.
Is it worth trying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah. It's,
and what do you think then about those beds that have the circulating like cold and hot water?
As long as there's not, and this is me, not an expert, as long as there's not electricity going through it, you know, the ones that
like the pump might be.
Yeah. If there's electrical wires that you're laying on that are on your mattress, that's no good for you.
Like heat blankets and stuff.
Yeah. Like electric blankets are really bad for you.
Damn.
Yeah.
So where would you recommend people start? Because that's like, you know, I now want to wrap my house in lime.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
Move into a bunker under concrete and lead. So, man.
Blue light seems like a pretty easy win in the non-native EMF with the corded headphones. But, like, where would you start?
Well, so the biggest impact that had in my life, just in general health, I can tell when I'm under a lot of stress and in front of a computer for too long, if I'm not wearing my glasses or if I'm in an environment where I'm in a meeting under fluorescent lights and suddenly I'm like getting that headache, that's disrupting everything. And that can make your sleep a lot worse.
Yeah.
So I would start with blocking blue light. On the iPhone, iOS, you can go in and change the settings. I'll show you my phone. It looks yellow or amber, and then at night I make it red or I put on my glasses. I think there's a couple of different TVs that allow you to change the color temperature of it, but we just wear our glasses if we're watching TV. Your computer screens, you can get Flux, or there's another software that you can change the color of your screen so you're not looking at harsh blue light the whole time. You know, and even if you don't buy our glasses, you can go on Amazon and buy the cheap ones that'll knock it down quite a bit. But the best thing for me was getting up every day and seeing the sunrise and blocking blue light. That's where I'd start. Yeah.
And then if you're experiencing what feels like unresolvable autoimmune types of stuff, just at least go explore mold toxicity.
Yeah. Ask somebody
candida,
to
all that kind of
ask
stuff.
Ask somebody to smell your clothes and say, do I smell like a moldy grandma house? If you walk into your house and it has that old grandma smell, you might have mold. Yeah.
You know, actually, that's interesting because, like, recently when I've, you know, hugged my wife, I'm like, your clothes smell like a musty dryer.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, which, like, mine don't.
Oh.
Because I feel like hers were left one time in there. And then, like, some of her stuff, not all of it. Like, but every once in a while, I'm like,
wet and moldy.
Yeah, you know that smell when someone, like, you leave stuff in the washing machine.
Yeah, and then you dry it, didn't get clean.
Does it matter if that happens, that could build mold in it, right?
Sure.
Can you get it out if you run it in a hot cycle?
Usually it will. I would use ammonia to clean it. You know, ammonia can knock down those toxins in hot water. You know,
so hot water and ammonia?
Yeah.
Does vinegar work?
Vinegar can work too. I just hate the smell of vinegar.
Yeah, yeah. So ammonia, hot water.
Yeah.
Soap at that time, or just run it in ammonia first on its own?
Ammonia first, yeah. And then hydrogen peroxide, food grade, can help clean it too.
And would you put that in the washing machine?
If you see it on the rubber gasket of your washing machine, you can use that, and that'll tend to knock it out. But wear rubber gloves because it'll bleach your fingers. Yeah.
Hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, this is so interesting. And for all of you listening or watching, we'll make sure that we source out things like the grounding sheet and your glasses.
Yep.
We'll make sure we put a link to Lucia Eyes.
Yes.
And I know there's cases, like for my phone, I have a Safe Sleeve.
Safe Sleeve's great.
Yeah, which is a great company. I think they also sell screen blockers for like blue light.
Yeah.
But I noticed in wearing the red ones,
mm-hmm,
that my HRV started to go up. And you know actually what I really noticed? Because I track my sleep probably like 3 times a week because I don't want to gamify my life.
Right.
So I don't want to be like, I wake up and I feel great, and all of a sudden it's like, your sleep was 67. And I'm like, fuck you. It felt like a 95. So I just know that I don't want the computer to tell me how my sleep was.
Yeah.
But what I noticed is when I started to do the morning sunlight and I started to do the yellow glasses during calls, I got less headaches because I could tell, again, this sort of like exhaustion of my eyes. But when I started to do that when I was, let's say, watching a show or doing something at night using my computer, my deep sleep went way up.
Yeah.
I noticed that. And I'm when I say way, it didn't go up like a little bit, like 5%. If I got 6.5 hours sleep, I was getting like 1 hour and 45 minutes of deep sleep and 1 hour and 30 or 1 hour and 45 of REM.
Wow.
Yeah, it made a huge difference.
It was huge.
But I noticed traveling that my HRVs dropped. I noticed like I'm in someone else's house because I'm using an Airbnb.
Right.
And so I think about a lot of what you're saying of the EMFs I'm exposed to, the potential mold in an Airbnb. Yep. Like you never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's really interesting.
Yeah, so there's a whole host of things that you can do just to keep yourself healthy on that. The other thing that I love and is counter from society is getting out in the sun as much as possible. If I'm out in the sun and, you know, taking the kids on the boat or something for 4, 5, 6 hours, I come home that night, I'm really not hungry. I can sleep a whole lot better, and I feel great for another 2 or 3 days. So I try to get about 1 hour of sunlight every
with
day.
With shirt off, kind of like
naked as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
that's good to know.
Dr. Cruz will say, ladies, get your girls. Boys, get your junk.
Like, just get exposed.
Yeah, and they make these thing called Kaniki is the brand, but they're tan-through clothing. So you can wear shorts and bathing suits. If you get up close, you can see through it if you're, you know, in your backyard.
You're really looking.
Yeah, right.
Well, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah,
I appreciate
thank you
coming on and sharing your story. Like I love when someone takes what they've been through and really like makes it a message and a purpose in their world.
Yeah.
And in the world, and to be able to like come out and share all of these things and the deep impact this has on relationship and life and just like quality of life and where someone
that's
listening,
a whole nother podcast.
Right. Like I just feel like someone listening might feel like they're crazy and this is actually going to find them some resolution. And I feel like we can all get better in all these aspects anyways.
True. There's one other thing that I should mention about there in when you're in a moldy house, one person's body can react different than another's. Like my body was not filtering out the toxins fast enough, but my wife's was. So she didn't get as sick. And then same thing with the 7 kids. 2 of the kids got really sick, but 5 of the kids weren't. So if your husband is saying, I'm fine, and the wife is, I feel horrible, I feel sick. He's like, I feel fine, and we found mold. That can be a huge impact on the relationship. Because one person can be horribly sick in the same house, and the other one can be perfectly fine. Now, the one that's fine, it might just take them a few years longer, but they'll end up getting sick. But there's somebody... other person in the house can be really sick while one or the spouse is not.
Wow. That makes sense. It's kind of representative of how you can have 2 different experiences of anything.
Correct.
And both are valid.
True.
You know? thanks again. And for the people listening, where can they find more of you? Where can they find Lucia Eyes?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. LuciaEyes.com, LuciaEyes.com. And then the nonprofit for kids with suicide is HopeChain.com. All of the profits from Lucia Eyes go to fund Hope Chain. And Hope Chain, we're supporting Hope Squads, which was started in Utah. And Hope Squads are peer-led kids in high schools and middle schools that are trusted advisors to help other kids who are struggling. So if there's
beautiful.
It was started by a guy named Dr. Greg Hudnall in Utah. And since he started it in 2000, 99 or 2000, he went from a high rate of suicide. You know, the Mormon population there is heavy duty, very strict, and they were having a lot of issues with kids committing suicide. Since he started it, he went from a high rate down to zero and has kept it that way.
Wow.
So, HopeChain.com. And then for Lucia Eyes, we'll get a coupon code for you. Why don't we just do LOVE20 for 20% off?
Perfect.
So, yeah.
That's great. Thanks so much. I appreciate that. So you guys hear that. Go to Lucia Eyes if you want to get some blue light glasses day or night. And you can use the code LOVE20.
LOVE20.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Dan. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you.